Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com.
Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by the movie The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, only in theaters April 19th. Get tickets now.
It's directed by Guy Ritchie, who did The Gentlemen, and produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, who did Top Gun Maverick.
Based on a true story, this action comedy reveals the first ever Special Forces mission executed during World War II.
Starring Henry Cavill and Alan Ritchson, discover how one mission changed history, laying the foundation for modern Black Ops warfare.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is rated R and in theaters April 19th. Get tickets now. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Fellow Ridiculous Historians, we're taking a week for the end of the year. Going to have a little vacation and go on some adventures. We didn't want to leave you hanging, so we're coming to you with some of our favorite classic episodes. Noel, you mentioned it earlier this week. We had some episodes from back in 2017. How long have we been doing this?
I guess since about 2017. Was it right? It was. I think it was the first year. These all feel like year one. Kind of eps.
Max is waving, or he's saying 5 years. He's saying, Ben, damn it, 5 years.
Time flies when you're being dumb. That's how that expression goes, right?
Well, okay. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because this classic episode, when you first hear about it, you might think we're talking about dumb people. But keep in mind, everybody throughout the span of history is about just as smart as people born in 2022, right? Or people in the modern day.
I think that's very charitable, Ben. I would somewhat disagree, but we can agree to somewhat disagree on this. I think we're all gifted with the same equipment. Can we put it that way?
Sure.
But then, you know, it always is a combination of nature and nurture. And the nurture aspect in olden times was often a little bit on the ignorant side, let's just say.
Yeah, that's fair. How about we do it this way? People are great at working with the information they're given.
That's right. That's they have right. Access and to. Innovation comes from folks that think outside of the information they're given and contribute to new information being available for others. Sometimes they're burned at the stake as witches.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they spend their entire lives increasingly convinced that they are made of glass and will shatter if anyone touches them.
That checks out.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ben, and I am about to ask a massive favor of my co-host, who doesn't know what I'm about to ask, but is so super cool, one of my best friends, and hopefully isn't mad at me for putting him on the spot.
I'm mad at you, like, in advance. I also just banged my knee on the desk here, so I'm super cranky, but go ahead.
All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Noel Brown. Noel is a very talented multi-instrumentalist, and has pipes for the angels. So, Noel, I was going to ask you if you could do a small rendition of that Heart of Glass song.
Absolutely not.
Oh, all right.
Until I find out I swallowed a tiny piano. Chubepa zippa 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 doob down. Leave it up down. One glass. That one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I don't know that. I may have Pipes of the Angels, but unlike my dear friend Frank, who hopefully is listening, I don't remember the lyrics quite well.
Well, the melody was important there.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And you might ask, Ben, why are you putting this poor guy on the spot?
I'm asking that. I'd like to know.
You can feel the tension in the room here. Our super producer, Casey Pegram, is raising up the yellow card for me. That means I'm not. Oh, wow. He had one.
He did.
I was making that up. Well, yeah, gosh, okay.
That'll teach you.
Yeah, that'll teach me. You guys are amazing. We are talking about a very, 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 very strange phenomenon in European history today. And I guess we'll just set it up this way. In 1422, King Charles VI died after ruling France for more than 40 years. He had a couple of different nicknames. One of them was Charles the Mad.
The Mad King?
The Mad King, Charles the Mad.
Was he the one who set everyone on fire? Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not real. That's Game of Thrones.
But man, what a great show. Just while we're
at it. It's a pretty dope show.
I feel like Winds of Winter, the next book, is never going to come out.
George R. R. Martin, if you're listening, do whatever you want, man. You don't have to finish. It's fine.
You don't owe anything to the fans.
Come on. HBO will finish it for you. It's fine.
Oh, that probably is true. Charles the Mad, although he did not burn an entire palace's worth of people, was still kind of wonky and
a little touched.
Yeah, a bit different. And he may have been the first person to exhibit what is known as the glass delusion. What did you think about this one, Noel?
I don't know. I mean, it sure is specific. Like, how would you arrive at this particular conclusion that you are made of glass and would break? So this delusion for our boy Charles was brought on by Melancholia, which is a fabulous film from Lars von Trier. And I thought it was a made-up word, but it's actually what they used to refer to depression as. And this continued to pop up weirdly because, like I said, it seemed like such a specific malady tied to a particular person and a very, you know, particular kind of delusion. But it kept popping up throughout history. Even Hippocrates, used the term melancholia in his book of aphorisms, called it a long-lasting fright or despondency and a profound depression. And again, the term over time became depression.
Right. The condition of melancholia affected people who were isolated, who weren't generally around a lot of people. And ding, 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 ding. That sounds like something that could easily happen to a queen or a king.
Yeah, especially just being surrounded by, you know, sycophants who just tell you what you want to hear and being completely isolated from any real meaningful, let's say, human contact. And maybe even not knowing enough to differentiate.
Yeah,
right?
That's scary.
Yeah, it's super scary. So some of these folks with melancholia, in this time, this condition produced this glass delusion, which was also accompanied by something called photophobia, which is sensitivity to light.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and we should mention, just for background for the time here, Charles was born in 1368 in December and died in October of 1422. The Mad wasn't his only nickname. He was also called the Beloved.
Man, that's two extremes there.
That's very wide.
I guess you can be mad and beloved, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, maybe the madness was sort of like kooky and it didn't like, he didn't like, you know, murder his people in droves. He just was a little touched, and maybe some people found it charming.
And he was convinced. He was convinced that he was physically made of glass. He did some, he had some very specific requests or demands from everyone in court. So he needed to have special clothes. He demanded they have special clothes made for his person to protect him from the possibility of shattering.
Like reinforced with iron on the inside, I can picture is almost like a strange kind of exoskeleton, right? Mm-hmm. And he would not allow people to touch him because he was afraid that they would break him into tiny smithereens. And this is not something that was just a passing fancy for him. It followed him throughout his entire life.
Right. And he was not the only member of the royalty with this same delusion. There was also Princess Alexandra Amalie of Bavaria, and she believed that because she had swallowed a glass grand piano as a child, that it had somehow turned her into fragile glass.
That's a bit of a jump.
Yes, yeah. And you can hear this case discussed, Princess Alexandra's case discussed in detail in Stuff You Missed in History class.
Yeah, they do an episode called The Princess Who Swallowed a Glass Piano. It's a very appropriate title. Let's just backtrack here one second. How does one acquire a tiny glass grand piano, A? And how do you accidentally swallow it?
Well, obviously, you are trying to play it with your mouth.
You know, I once thought that I swallowed an entire wrapped cough drop, and it turns out that I didn't actually do that. But I spent a whole day convinced that I had swallowed a cough drop that was a Ricola that was wrapped. And then I found it later in my pocket and felt very foolish. But I spent that day kind of probably feeling a little bit how this princess might have felt, maybe a little bit less extreme. But, I definitely felt something was off. Didn't feel like I was made of Ricola, but, I was spooked.
And sometimes obsessive thoughts can haunt us. You know, imagine if you've ever had, I'm not equivocating these things entirely, but just by way of comparison, imagine if you ever had a song stuck in your head to the point that it becomes torturous.
What?
Right? Oh, it's not that bad. That song's not going to get stuck in people's head. It's not going to happen. Or it doesn't happen to me.
You and I are going to live forever. No?
No.
Okay.
No,
I'm going to get you.
You could try, my friend.
I'm going to get you.
Well, hopefully you will have we have a long, long future ahead of that, of you trying to get songs stuck in my head.
I get you.
Okay. And the thing is that when you have a song stuck in your head and this thought that will not leave, this unwelcome visitor.
Cyclical. Yeah.
This unwelcome visitor that shows up in the house of your mind and makes itself at home and begins altering the interior decoration, compulsive thoughts. Thoughts that you don't want to have, but you cannot escape, can occur for very long periods of time. So this isn't just, I guess I'm saying this because this is not just restricted to the glass delusion, which, by the way, was one of the most prevalent delusions of its time.
That's the whole point here. That's so interesting. And a lot of that is tied to the actual technology of glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it spread to anything that contained glass as well. There's a history of psychiatry paper from 1990 that dives into this type of melancholy and shows that other people had delusions where they thought they were specifically flasks or what you and I would refer to as urinals in the modern day or oil lamps or like any number of other glass receptacles.
Totally, but it was also the new invention of clear glass that is largely blamed for this delusion because people just had not seen this before, and it appeared as magic. It appeared as something utterly mystical. And, you know, you could probably see how something like that might play into the delusions of people that are possibly predisposed to those cyclical thoughts that you're talking about.
Right, exactly. Because according to the author of this paper, Gil Speak, the melancholiacs whose delusions manifested this way, it was manifesting because it was a need to protect the body, and they were often also preoccupied with protecting their souls. So in a layered way, in a layer cake kind of way, this delusion might have been a side effect or a symptom, a consequence of the internal struggle dealing with the metaphysical reality of death and, of course, the overwhelming desire to avoid death at all costs, which is still very understandable in 2017.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm into it as well. And these issues have not disappeared. You know, if you're isolated from people today and you're suffering from mental illness, you can see how it would make sense to imagine yourself as a material that's easily breakable, largely invisible, incredibly fragile.
Yeah, I mean, we're all living in a material world, and I'm a material girl. Right. Made of, you know, material.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
If we've learned anything in the process of doing this podcast, just living life, it's that there's always a catch.
So when we heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month if you get a 3-month plan, we looked at each other and we thought, nah, what's the catch?
But here's the thing. In this case, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online.
Yeah, they cut out that middleman cost of retail stores and they pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. We're not joking. We have tried out Mint Mobile ourselves and it's super convenient. And it actually, like, we tried to find a catch and there's not one.
So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan.
Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This episode is brought to you by the movie The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, only in theaters April 19th. Get tickets now.
It's directed by Guy Ritchie, who did The Gentlemen, and produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, who did Top Gun Maverick.
Based on the incredible true story, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare reveals the gripping tale of the first ever Special Forces mission executed during World War II.
Get tickets now for this action comedy masterpiece that defies expectations, showcasing how one daring mission reshaped history and set the stage for modern black ops warfare using unconventional and utterly ungentlemanly techniques.
Starring Henry Cavill, known for his iconic portrayal of Superman, and Alan Ritchson, star of Reacher. Get ready for a mission with a little madness and a lot of mayhem.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is rated R, and in theaters April 19th, get tickets now. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos and the last one, God bless it. I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
In Speaks paper in this review, they address this concept of mortality. And there's a fantastic quote here that builds after Speak is placing this concept, this delusion, in the context of theologians reacting to the world of free thinkers versus the strict boundaries of orthodoxy, right? Like, is it heretical to think that you are made of glass in a world that is governed by strict religious monotheistic dogma, where there is an absolute God with an absolute plan? So people try to address this both as a social conundrum and an internal struggle. And I'll just read the quote here, and I want to see what you think, Noel. For those whose faith was strong enough to shoulder the church's advocation to prepare oneself for dying, and there was prolific literature on this topic, the melancholic delusions manifest itself in a fervent wish to be released from this earthly form. James Howell, as an example of this, his reflections as he languished imprisoned embody the manifestations of the glass delusion. The soul is a spark of immortality. She is a divine light, and the body is but a socket of clay that holds it. In some, this light goes out with an ill-favored stench, but others have a save-all to preserve it from making any snuff at all. So this idea of, like, dying a good death, choosing the way in which you die, seems central to this glass delusion. Because now you're, you know, if you know you're going to die, right, and you have a spiritual belief that something happens after you die, and you live in a society that tells you more or less an if-then scenario, you know, if you are a good person, if you follow the rules of the church, then you will go to a paradise. You know, it's an action of retaining control. Like, I'm the king of France. I'm not going to accidentally shatter because I shook someone's hand. I'm not done yet. Build me a suit of iron.
I see what you're saying. Because at first I was sort of like, it seems like you'd be very out of control, but given those powers to guard against something that you could more or less control, then maybe that is a form of that. It's interesting. And actually, as it turns out, this delusion carried on into the present even. There are quite a few cases of glass delusion up into the 1800s, 1880s, in the footnotes of a Cervantes tome called The Glass Graduate, talking about contemporary cases in a Parisian asylum, and doesn't have too much else on that, but it does discuss it. Do you know of any other cases, Ben?
Yeah, actually. So Tchaikovsky, Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, has some of his actions, some of his neurotic behavior had led people to think that he was suffering something similar to the glass delusion, at least in terms of his perception of his fragility. He had this deep-set, dead-certain belief that if he did not hold his chin while he was conducting, that his head would fall off. Physically, just fall off. And, you know, people debate over whether this legend is exaggerated, but it seems to have a basis. In fact, he had said himself that he felt his head would fall sideways unless he constantly fought to keep it upright. So he's scared to conduct. And he said that... He also had a tremendous insecurity about conducting because he was aware that his condition might make him look weird, if that makes sense. This was in 1860s. In 1886, he said that he was haunted by this idea of conducting, but it followed him for quite a while in his life.
In that Cervantes story I was talking about earlier, The Glass Graduate, is actually a short story. The circumstances were that the hero of the story eats a poisonous fruit, a quince, and it's meant to be an aphrodisiac, but it actually triggers the delusion, which I would think was probably inspired by the glass piano story, of like ingesting something and then having it, you know, having some kind of overpowering effect on, in your mind, you know, the actual composition of your body.
Mm-hmm. And here's another interesting thing. So we said Tchaikovsky is suffering from something similar to this, but it's not specifically glass. The weird thing is, we have to ask ourselves, well, what happened to this delusion that was once relatively well known, such that authors like Cervantes were writing about it? The general assumption for a long time was that around the 1830s, cases of glass delusion disappear from the literature, from the medical records. And at first glance, it would be easy to assume that society and culture had changed so extremely over time, such that people who were suffering from mental illness would no longer manifest this particular delusion. Going back to the earlier point about new technology, maybe it's a case where someone believes they are made of a different new substance, right? Just for the sake of argument, carbon fiber. You know, we don't know if there's an actual case, but the point is, like, a newer material might have launched the same thing. However, a psychiatrist named Andy Lemaine at Leiden in the Netherlands uncovered more cases, and he felt that he was finding an authentic case of a genuine glass delusion. And his research in this field at the psychiatric hospital in Leiden, where he was serving as director, led him to discover lost cases recorded after that 1830s disappearance day. He found a lecture in 1883 from an Edinburgh mental hospital that cited the symptoms of 300 female patients, and one of them was convinced that her legs and her back, part of her back, all of her back, we don't know, but her legs and her back were made of glass. She had such a fear of this condition that, just like Charles VI, she would not allow people to touch her. Nurses could not get near her to change her clothes or help her. And this, you know, this is an interesting thing I don't think we mentioned. People who have the glass delusion think that what's interesting is that the glass they imagine comprising their body is much more fragile than actual real-world glass, because you could touch a glass.
We
hold glasses and drink out of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's more durable than you give it credit for. I mean, most of the drinking glasses at my house are mason jars, and I drop those all the time, and they, over time, do develop little cracks, but they don't usually just explode.
Oh, yeah.
What if these people were made of Pyrex, though? You know what happens in Pyrex?
Oh, man.
Drops.
Oh, everywhere. Just,
it explodes everywhere. It's pretty wild. But then this guy, Lemaine, and we're being a little liberal with this pronunciation. It's L-A-M-E-I-J-N. I'm assuming this is soft J. I couldn't find anyone speaking it online, but we are doing our best. He later discovered a young man at a clinic in Leiden, the university clinic where he worked, who specifically said he was made out of glass. He was so jazzed about the opportunity to talk to the only, like, modern day case of this that had been found for decades, and was incredibly excited. So he dropped everything he was doing, he says, and he, you know, hightailed it and made this happen. So he hung out with this gentleman for some time.
Hours and hours.
Yeah. And he did, in fact, confirm that the guy believed that he was made of glass. There's a fabulous quote from this patient. They're having a conversation, and the patient points to a window in the room where they're meeting, and he asked the professor, "What could you see? What can you see?"
This is positively cinematic, but
it really is, man. This should be a moment.
So Lemaine says, "Well," he gives it the old college go, you know, old college try. He says, "I see a street. I see some cars, I see some more buildings, and I see people walking past." And then a moment of silence filled the room.
"Ah, you missed the glass in the window. You didn't see it, but it is there. That's me. I'm there, and I'm not there, like the glass in the window." Spooky.
Yeah, spooky. And you know what? Not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but well done, right? I think we set that
up.
Ben,
thank you. Well done on your part, too.
Thanks. I can't take all the credit. He wanted to be very careful when he was speaking with this patient. He didn't want to accidentally, let's say, go too far too fast and distort the conversation by right out opening up with, "Well, maybe you have ideas of fragility and transparency, and they're manifesting in this way, you know?" And this led to the glass in the window conversation, which, again, is just, I can see it, you know? I can see that film.
This episode is brought to you by the movie The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, only in theaters April 19th. Get tickets now.
It's directed by Guy Ritchie, who did The Gentlemen, and produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, who did Top Gun Maverick.
Based on the incredible true story, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare reveals the gripping tale of the first ever Special Forces mission executed during World War II.
Get tickets now for this action comedy masterpiece that defies expectations, showcasing how one daring mission reshaped history and set the stage for modern black ops warfare using unconventional and utterly ungentlemanly techniques.
Starring Henry Cavill, known for his iconic portrayal of Superman, and Alan Ritchson, star of Reacher. Get ready for a mission with a little madness and a lot of mayhem.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is rated R and in theaters April 19th. Get tickets now. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something.
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
El Camino, right?
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one, and that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino, and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it so. The Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever been.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at AvalonWaterways.com. So LeMaine continued his conversation, and ultimately he came to the belief that based on some of the life events the patient told him about, including a recent accident, he believed that the glass delusion was, in a way, an attempt to regain privacy. What's interesting about this patient is that he felt that he could switch it on and off. So he wasn't stuck forever like glass.
That's cool.
He felt like he could become it.
So that kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about how, you know, in the early cases of glass delusion, it almost manifested itself as some strange form of control, kind of like to be able to control your circumstances or control the manner of your own death or something like that. I think that's really interesting.
And maybe then this means in some ways this this feeling is something that comes from the extreme end of the social anxiety scale. Because we've all had social anxiety at some point, right? Like, I'm assuming, I don't want to put you on the spot again based on the top of our show.
But I'm having it right now, buddy.
You're having it right now? Oh, it's going to be okay.
I know. No, of course. Of course. You know, but you got to kind of like, you play little tricks with yourself if you have it to kind of like get rid of it. And I don't know, like this seems like a very extreme case, but I could certainly see it as being some sort of deep-seated, device.
And to take a phrase from the Simpsons, one of my favorite words they use, we can embiggen this phenomenon because, you see, the glass delusion feels very specific. And I love the point you made about technology because it was new at the time. And so now the next question is, are there other things that function in the same way? Is there another example of a new material, right? I think I used carbon fiber just because, spoiler alert, I knew that probably wasn't true.
Yeah, but why not like cotton candy or something, you know? Or like, where does it end?
Yeah, in the 19th century, when cement became a popular building material, there were people who began to have this belief that they were made of cement. And I wonder if it's the same thing as, people who believe that their minds are being hacked in the information age.
That's a good point, dude.
It's a scary point because, again, we have to be conscious and aware of the fact that just because somebody was born in a different point in time doesn't mean they were in any way less intelligent.
Oh, totally.
Than you or I.
Yeah, they got the same equipment for sure. And there's just different contexts, different historical periods that lead people to, experience things different and have different anxieties that are tied to their surroundings. And I love the connection with technology and with, being hacked or, being like surveillance, the idea mm-hmm. of like being surveilled all the time with, our smartphones and our computers listening to us and such. So I don't know. What do you guys think? What would be a modern day glass delusion? Can you guys think of any equivalents? We would love to hear it. Once you email us.
I'm made of GAC.
Yeah. Oh, man. Remember GAC? I was more of a Phloem guy.
You remember Phloem?
Yeah, I like Phloem. And my kid is really into like kinetic sand and stuff like that. But yeah, what would be a modern equivalent? What do you think about this idea of materials, magical seeming materials? Is there even anything that could infect our minds or fascinate us in such a way that it could cause a delusion of that magnitude? Let us know. Send us an email, ridiculous@howstuffworks.com.
And we do want to end on a very important note. Although we are talking about a fascinating phenomenon in the past, we are not in any way ridiculing or casting aspersion on people who find themselves struggling with mental illness today. If you have concerns about yourself or a loved one, we are lucky enough to live in a day and age where there are numerous free resources available. And please make use of them. And I don't want us to end on a down note. It's just important to know that you're not alone. And I also want to know, GAC or Phloem, I hope this is not the issue that finally divides us irreparably.
FLAC, perhaps.
FLAC?
That's when you combine the two.
That's way better than GOM. What's GOM? I don't want to know either. But if you feel like you have a good pitch for what we should identify as GOM, you can let us know at the same email address. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. As always, we're still vision boarding away for our future Pinterest page.
And if you feel like it, feel compelled to do so, throw us a review on iTunes. It helps kind of get the show up there and have more people find out about it. So unless you absolutely can't stand us, in which case, just keep it to yourself. But we are glad that you're listening to us just the same. And we hope that you'll join us for the next episode of Ridiculous History. Goodbye, everyone. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by the movie The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, only in theaters April 19th. Get tickets now.
It's directed by Guy Ritchie, who did The Gentlemen, and produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, who did Top Gun Maverick.
Based on a true story, this action comedy reveals the first ever Special Forces mission executed during World War II.
Starring Henry Cavill and Alan Ritchson, discover how one mission changed history, laying the foundation for modern Black Ops warfare.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is rated R, and in theaters April 19th. Get tickets now.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.